When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. Gerard Mayo will be with us next hour at about 9:15, and we'll get to Boomer Esiason in a minute or two. News with Courtney coming up at 8:20. And if you are planning on preparing a viral TikTok sensation on Thursday for Turkey Day, doctors are warning you that you should probably pump the brakes or you might die. Am I correct about that?
That is correct,
yes. All right. So we'll get to that and the news coming up in just a little bit. Boomer is brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire, for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving week. You know, here we are. It's Thanksgiving week, and none of our football teams in our local markets actually can do anything after this except jockey for first overall draft pick.
Yeah, well, ours unfortunately looks sloppy. Sloppy all over the place yesterday.
You know what? You actually caught the Miami Dolphins at the wrong time. That was their team. That's who they are. That's what their offense looks like when it is humming on all cylinders. And they've been building to this the last 3 to 4 weeks since Tua Tagovailoa came back. And, man, it's so much fun to watch. I know being on the losing side of it is not much fun. But for me, watching Tua play that way, watching Mike McDaniel call those plays, watching the speed that Miami has, it's pretty impressive.
We've talked to you about it. We've talked a lot about it on the show. The defense, this New England Patriots defense is putrid. Should that not be Gerard Mayo's forte if he's going to be able to accomplish anything this first season?
Well, you'd like to think so, yes. And early on, I thought they were okay. I thought they kept them in games. You remember we were talking about how Jacoby Brissett was going to hand the ball off. They were going to run the ball with Ramondre Stevenson, and they were going to play defense. And they were going to play good, solid special teams. It was a pretty simple recipe. You know, when you get this deep into the season, you've played 12 games. Your offense is up and down. It's scattershot all over the place. The defense has got an enormous amount of pressure on it. And I'm just telling you guys, that offense yesterday that we saw, that's the Lions offense, that's the 49er offense with Brock Purdy, that's the Green Bay Packer offense, and the Miami offense is faster than all of those teams. So when they are rolling like they are, that defense is going to look really bad. I don't know what else to tell you. Watching this game yesterday, you could see the difference in speed, and that's really what the NFL is built on.
Boomer, one of the things that really sticks out to me when I'm watching this football team is they're so undisciplined when it comes to penalties. Is this, you know, some of those penalties like the holdings, you can kind of, you know, those are on the players, but how much do you put on the coaches when it comes to the discipline and continuous making penalties week after week?
I don't know if you feel this way, Wiggs. All I know is if we ever lost a game the way that the Patriots did yesterday, and I think they committed either 10 or 11 penalties, and you came to work the next day your position coach was all over you, mm-hmm. and he was just grinding you down because of the penalties, and especially when they're false start penalties. Holding penalties, sometimes I can totally understand, especially as a quarterback. I don't want anybody running free at me, and so I always tell the guys, if you got to hold, just do whatever you got to do to keep them out of the backfield. But I mean, it's stupid penalties that drive you crazy. Penalties that should not be made. But sometimes, you know, these officials too. Depending, I don't know which crew they had yesterday, but I think some of these crews are just impossible to deal with, and it's impossible to watch the game. The game is just not a good game sometimes when the officials get way too involved.
Boomer, after the game, Jerod Mayo was asked about the penalties and said that there was nothing he could do for them once they crossed the white line. A lot of people upset about that. What do you think about that response?
Yeah, well, Bill Belichick wouldn't say that, right? And I guess we're comparing everything to him these days because he's not coaching, and we forget what the team looked like the last 3 years. But I would say that, yeah, it is on the players. It's always on the players. They can coach as hard as they can, but there's got to be accountability too. So it's going to be up for Coach Mayo to stand in front of that team today, hold those guys accountable. That's the only way I know how to handle something like this when there's a rash of penalties like this. So, it's late in the season. This team is not going anywhere. I don't think it's a very good team. We've been talking about this all year long. They're right there with the Jets, the Giants, the Panthers. These are teams that are all bottom feeders right now. And the thing that they have to get right is they have to get the offseason free agency right, and they got to get the draft right. I don't think they're going to do anything with the coaching staff. I don't think they should. I think they got to get another year out of Drake May and see where he can take them, assuming that they can have a good draft and maybe go after somebody like a T. Higgins, a wide receiver, which would be a really nice addition for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't touch anybody coaching staff wise.
I can't say I don't know enough. I'd be lying if I sat here and told you I could go down the coaching staff and sit here and say fire this guy, fire that guy.
I just mean coordinator wise, you know, Alex Van Pelt or DeMarcus Covington.
All right, so Alex has had success in this league and he's been around for a long time and he's a little bit hamstrung, with a revolving offensive line, a rookie quarterback. Wide receivers that, you know, maybe they keep a couple, they have to add to that position. I mean, let's face it, guys. I mean, like, you're not talking about like what you saw with the Miami Dolphins yesterday. You saw speed, you saw playmakers, and you saw a quarterback that was so in sync with his play caller that's what you're trying to get to. And the Patriots just don't have those types of players yet.
But you mentioned speed, Boomer, and a huge story locally, I'm sure it didn't get quite the run nationally, was that Alex Van Pelt had to be asked to play Marcus Jones on offense, who is their electric punt returner, defensive back, who has been in the offense the last couple years, and he admitted to not watching offensive film of the Patriots the last couple years in advance of taking this job, which to me, I don't know how you say that. I don't know how you do that. It's unfathomable to me that you have a team this bereft of talent on offense, and you have a guy that's sitting there, not like he's going to make him a playoff team, but the coordinator doesn't even watch the film of the team he's taking over.
Yeah, somewhere you get five or six plays, maybe seven plays out of a guy like that. You know, it's I didn't hear that he said that. I mean, that is a little bit of an indictment on himself, to be honest. I mean, if you don't know your personnel coming in and you don't know what's available to you, you know, that's on you. There's no question about that.
Well, I think it's an indictment also of Jerod Mayo. If the player has to text the offensive coordinator, which is what happened, to say, hey, I can also play on the other side of the football. I mean, it's an indictment of the whole thing if that hasn't come up at all.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's a hard thing to really swallow when you hear the coach admit to something like that. I mean, I don't even know why he would say that. I mean,
yeah, I don't either.
I don't know. I think I would come up with something completely different. Like, you know, I know he's available. I just haven't found a place to use him yet. We're going to get him involved, something like that.
He should have used new phone. Who dis?
Right.
Maybe
or waiting for a playoff game. You know.
Or how about we're on to Cincinnati and not saying anything?
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
In your neck of the woods, Diana Rossini had a report this weekend that Aaron Rodgers will soon be benched, placed on IR, or maybe even cut. Is the latter a possibility?
I guess if he would want to be cut. Now, I also said last week, early in the week, that he's playing with a bad hamstring. His front leg, he doesn't even throw off of it, and I don't think he can. And I think it's real. It's obvious to me that there's a major issue there. And then, of course, the reports come out yesterday from all the NFL insiders that he's not getting scans on his leg because he doesn't want answers because he knows that he's got a really bad problem. So I guess all of those things could be on the table right now. It will be an interesting week around here for sure because, you know, they're coming off of their bye. So Aaron's not been here. He was at his 20-year reunion, I think, out of Cal. So this is going to be a really interesting McAfee a week because there's been a lot of things written and said down here about Aaron in regards to whether or not the owner wanted him benched after the Bronco game, which I think was game 4 or game 5. And I think they knew that he was hurt. That's the only reason why the owner would have said that. And then on the other side of town is the New York Giants. And they released Daniel Jones, who after he clears waivers today at 4 o'clock, I guarantee you he will sign with one of these teams that is in the playoff hunt as a backup quarterback.
Will he be a starter again in this league, do you think?
I do. You know, and the reason I say that is because Sam Darnold, you know, is a starter. Baker Mayfield is a starter. I mean, it all
Mac
depends.
Mac Jones
is a starter. I mean, like, you just never know, man. Yeah. He's just got to get to the right place. You know, I actually like Daniel Jones. He's highly inaccurate, and a lot of injuries early on in his career, I think, really did affect his growth. And then the fact that he's had, like, 4 coaches in 5 years with 5 different offensive coordinators, that didn't help any. And quite frankly, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. But if he gets to the right place, somehow like a Sam Darnold type of situation could really happen for him. And I would suggest that somewhere along the line, he'll be a stopgap starter. He's not going to be a long-term answer for anybody.
Malik Nabers calling his team soft and then moving on to whining about when he gets the football. Do you like that? From a rookie
wide receiver complaining from LSU?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what else is new? I mean, it's like, it seems like it happens every year. One of these guys go off, and I understand. He's frustrated. You know, it was interesting. In that offseason Hard Knocks, Brian Daboll, when they were interviewing Malik, he said, how do you feel about losing? He goes, I hate losing. And he's telling everybody that he hates losing. So yeah. Brian is getting the answer that he got in real time now. And it's not pretty here. It's ugly. And when you have a kind of a petulant rookie doing what he's doing, and Wiggy could tell you this, you know, nobody likes that.
Boomer, what's up with the Commanders? To be 7-2 and now 7-5 seems like a bit of a fall from grace.
Defense. And I also think Jaden Daniels is, I kind of hit the wall a little bit, but their defense is really kind of falling apart here. And that's supposed to be Dan Quinn's deal, just like Gerard Mayo. That's supposed to be his deal. Their defense has given up way too many big plays. Watching this game yesterday, like, you know, going flipping back and forth and trying to keep up with what the hell was happening in it was almost impossible because there were so many wild things that happened in this game. But, you know, there were like 3 teams that got tripped up within their division yesterday. Obviously, the Commanders were one of them. The Texans were one. And then Arizona went out to Seattle. Seattle beats them, and Seattle's now in first place in the NFC West. I do not want to see Seattle in the playoffs. It's just not. It's not a pretty team. You know what I mean? It's just like
it's not
there's
sexy.
Nothing juicy about them. You know what I mean? Like, I want the 49ers to be back in there, but I don't. They keep pushing these guys like out there that, you know, can't play. They can't replace the guys that they have when they are hurt because they have superstars, and it's really killing their season.
Boomer, you brought up the Aaron Rodgers situation. I think the one thing that will be interesting is he said he kind of wants to play next year. If you had to gamble, do you think it's with another team? And is there another team out there that would want Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a team that would take Aaron Rodgers. I definitely think that. It depends on who the coach is because, as we have seen down here now, especially this year, not so much last year. I mean, last year, you know, he got hurt and it unfortunately, you know, went south on him. But this year, I think he's hurt again, and I think he's trying to play through the injury because of what happened last year and the pressure that has been around him in the offense and the fact that, you know, it's perceived that he's running the team because he's brought a lot of his buddies here to play with him. I know that he doesn't want to go out this way, that's for sure. Now, the question is, will Woody Johnson keep him here? my feeling right now at this moment is no, he will not be here next year. There'll be a new GM and, of course, a new head coach. And I'm not so sure that they would want to inherit, you know, that all over again, because it has really, I mean, he has really sucked the air out of the building. And I don't mean that in a real negative way. I just mean it in a way that he is such a big personality and everybody has deferred to him since he got here 2 years ago, that people like stand around thinking that he's Superman and he's going to make all these plays by himself. And that has not been the case.
Question of the week for Boomer Esiason is presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Because of Wiggy and the fact that he continues to be a big ham guy, Boomer, question of the week is turkey or ham on Thursday?
100% turkey and stuffing, man.
Thank you.
I mean, there is ham there, I don't eat much of it.
Oh, thank you. Case closed.
Boomer's as basic as they come. Ham with a little bit of pineapple juice sauce running all over it, Boomer.
You know, I would think that you being up there by Plymouth Rock and crap like that, you'd be eating turkey. You know
right,
that.
Yeah,
what
the hell's
wrong
with
you? Right. Yeah, you can keep your turkey.
But he's not a big fan of history. Boomer, we've been wondering since last week why Robert Kraft continues to fail the vote to get into Canton and join the Football Hall of Fame. It's 0-13 now. Any theories you have? I mean, it seems just confounding.
You know, it is confounding to me, too, because from where I sit, Mr. Kraft has had an incredible impact on the game itself. Don't worry about stuff off the field with his anti-Semitism fund and all the other great things that he does that nobody even sees. You know, what he has been a part of and the growth of the NFL since he took over the Patriots has been nothing short of miraculous. So I'm one of those guys who does believe that he belongs in. There's no question about it. It's really disappointing. I hope that he gets in before too long. I want him to be able to enjoy it. He deserves it. And hopefully next year, you know, they'll call his name. But, yeah, it is I don't have an answer for it. I don't know why. I mean, if I just take a look at everything that he's accomplished since he bought the Patriots, of what they've done there with their Super Bowls and how the game has grown, how the league has grown, stadiums have grown. I mean, a lot of that is due in large part to his success.
Boomer, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All righty, guys. Take care. See you.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. I'm happy for Boomer because it's probably the first Thanksgiving he will be able to celebrate with his families for quite some time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Always working.
Always. The Pats fall in Miami 34-15, the final against the Dolphins with Drake May completing 22 of 31 passes for 222 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The offense had just 44 total yards in the first half. Now penalties hurt the guys once again. They had 10 in the loss. We'll talk to Jerod Mayo in the 9 o'clock hour about that coming up. In college football, BC is going bowling. They got their sixth win on Saturday, beating UNC 41-21. The Celtics beat the Timberwolves at the TD Garden last night, 107-105, the final. Jaylen Brown started the game with 5 straight threes, ending the game with a game-high 29 points. And it's back-to-back game nights for the Seas. They're hosting the Clippers tonight at the TD Garden. Tip is at 7:30. The Bruins got their second win under Joe Sacco on Saturday, beating the Red Wings 2-1. And the crazy news over the weekend, just 5 days after Jim Montgomery was fired, he has a new home. Monty signed a 5-year deal to be the St. Louis Blues head coach. That 5-day period is the shortest in-season span between a head coach being fired and hired by another team in NHL history. And cozy up to irresistible new fall flavors at the 99 restaurant, like the freshly baked home-style chicken pot pie, packed with chicken and topped with a buttery, flaky crust, or the creamy short rib mac and cheese. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Chilly out there. Feels like 30. Afternoon high. Sunny. 50 degrees.
All right, we'll get to Courtney and today's news next. And I hope you're not going to TikTok when it comes to recommendations on what you should prepare for the family on Thursday. But if you are, a warning on one particular viral sensation from doctors when we come back.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It is a Patriots Monday on a short week. Thanksgiving just days away. Hopefully, if you have to go somewhere, you get to leave today or tomorrow so you're not stuck in the misery of trying to drive somewhere with 71 million other people on Wednesday. By the way, speaking of the season, Curtis, Courtney, James, and I went Friday and picked out our tree for the studio. And I think it's there. I think Mitch can actually show you that the crew at Christmas Trees for Me is setting that tree up right now.
Well, that's a nice one.
James did an absolutely unbelievable job on that tree, Curtis, picking that tree out.
He only fell three times running in between.
He did take a few diggers.
You know,
yeah.
He doesn't really, you know, the free will has not met fear yet, but hopefully we'll get there. But he had a great time. They were so nice with James.
So nice.
So sweet, so easy.
That place is so cool, too. It's a one-stop shop for everything that you need to set up your tree in the city or outside the city. Like, I would go there if I lived in one of the suburbs outside.
Well, Jeff, who owns Christmas Trees for Me, says that they are the single biggest preventer of holiday fighting between couples, because that tree comes just like that set up, and there's no argument about the positioning of the tree, who's going to do the lights, how do you get, I mean, so it's well worth the effort. Can we show the skirt or take a look at this. This is the custom-made skirt, which has all of our incredible professional sports franchises represented there.
All right.
And so we got a beautiful, actual living Christmas tree in violation of my normal rule, which is that it shouldn't be set up until after Thanksgiving. We wanted to get those guys in there on a day that we weren't there. So,
and they have those skirts for sale there. They have a whole rack of skirts. All of them are double-sided, so like this one is obviously sport themed on one, tartan on the other, but they have everything that you could want.
Did you end up purchasing what is arguably the laziest item that anybody can purchase?
I don't want to spoil maybe a gift for my mom this year.
All right. Well, then I can't tell her.
Oh, wow.
No, you can. You can. She's not listening.
They have this thing, Shime, that you... Oh, there it
is. There it is.
So Jeff has that. You put that in the tree. Jeff is going to show you how you do that. And then you can actually, you don't have to bend over to pour water into your Christmas tree. You just you put that thing in. And then,
Greg. That's like, what's the corn pole? Where cornhole, but you don't even have to bend down to pick up the baggie.
It's great for your back, though.
Yeah,
the greatest inventions of all time have been made by the laziest people.
Shime, that's a great point.
That is true.
That really is a great point. I mean, think about the television remote.
Right.
If there weren't, if there weren't lazy people who didn't want to get up and off the couch, there'd be no remote.
Right.
If there weren't lazy people who didn't want to cook, there'd be no microwave.
Right. Mm-hmm. Alexander Graham Bell didn't want to drive. He just wanted to call. We got that.
The cordless phone, not having to run through the whole house or apartment to get the rotary phone off the wall.
Right.
Caller ID, so you don't have to answer your sister's call. Right. It's great.
I like that tree, though. Good job.
And they set that up quick, too.
Yeah.
Good job. By the way, it is the best part of this process without the headache. The most fun thing is to go, which tree are we going to get?
Correct.
You know, James was quick, and he's great choice.
Yeah, great choice.
But if you want to go out on Friday, Saturday, whatever, this weekend, you park in the city, you go pick out your tree, Then you get lunch. You don't have to drive home. You can grab your, you know, trinkets at the snowport, and then you're home.
Yep. You can go to Levain, the bakery, and have some cookies.
Was I right?
Man, oh, man.
They are. The cookies are extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
We went there yesterday, and it was jammed with people because it just opened up. The cookies are. They're giant cookies.
Huge. Like, you can get one cookie and probably have it for 3 sittings.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a cookie last 3 sittings, but they are.
Yeah. Mine didn't make it to 3 sittings.
But we are men, and we're very disgusting.
All right. Well, anyway, we got a tree, and we should get to this.
It's time for.
You ever go into a new home where you have a shower where the water doesn't come out of the shower head? They put a restrictor on. I took all the restrictors off.
The news.
I've had the experience. I take a shower. I want that beautiful head of hair to be nice and wet. Lather.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Definitely his Hancock, so.
Excuse me?
Well, that's what they call signature.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I want it to be lathered beautifully.
On WEEI.
Well, some good news, as Gloucester has solved their teacher strike, with the school committee saying it has reached a tentative agreement with the union on a new contract, and students and teachers will be back in class today. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that is not the case for Beverly and Marblehead, who are headed into their third week of a holdout. Now, so that means that kids are just home for 3 weeks doing nothing, and going into the holidays, too, where they're going to be, you know, out of school for more weeks.
Yep. They used to. We did it there in the pandemic.
but during the pandemic, they were at least learning at home. I know it wasn't perfect.
And the parents were actually home during the pandemic.
Right. Yes.
Whereas now, what do you do if you have a job? You know, I don't know what you're about.
You're SOL.
Right.
And it's on you to figure out what to do with your kids. I mean,
I have a great idea. Everybody ready? Instead of housing thousands of people at $500 a night in perpetuity, we pay teachers more money. Who's with me?
I'm always paying teachers more money.
I think they should be paid more money. Yeah. I agree with you on that, Curtis.
We can hear from Andrea Sherman from the Beverly Teacher Association on Boston 25.
We're so close. I don't understand why the deal wasn't done 2 weeks ago. It's always helpful to remember there are human beings on both sides of the table. That's absolutely true. And all we can do is hope that it moved the needle in the right direction for us.
Some of these politicians is just so dumb. You'll ban RVs, but you won't allow and you won't help to make sure teachers get the raises that they're looking for. When they got to watch our kids, and listen, some of them, let's be honest, they're absolute hellions. And there's some of the stuff that these teachers have to put up with, whether it's physical altercations or just, you know, the savagery of their mouth. And you can't say anything to these kids nowadays. Forget about it.
Because the parents will blame the teacher.
Yeah, they'll blame the teacher, and then everybody will come down on that poor teacher. But yet, we'll ban the RVs, like you said, Greg, in your lead, and you won't pay teachers their proper salary. Dumb.
Yep. This is a crazy story. Mass State Trooper, Trooper Terrence Kent, is off the job due to serious allegations about sexual misconduct during a traffic stop. He was suspended without pay after a duty status hearing on Thursday. They're not giving any more information about what actually took place during the traffic stop, just that there's allegations against him of the sexual nature. Kent was previously suspended for 8 days back in 2023 after an internal affairs investigation.
How many times can you be suspended by the Mass State Police and keep your job?
Ask Proctor. I don't know.
I guess in this case, it's more than once.
We just talked about unions fighting for fair wages for teachers. Like, this is where unions, I think, do a disservice to the writ large that engage. Because I feel like there are so many of these stories where they protect guys that shouldn't be protected.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, this is the exception to the rule.
Of course.
And I'm sure that if you asked 99 state troopers, they were bothered by what individuals do that are working on the job with them.
Right.
And it's just ridiculous. Like, if you're suspended a couple times, you should be gone.
Right.
You know?
Now, Greg has teased it already this morning, but it is Thanksgiving week, and my algorithm on TikTok does give me some pretty good recipes. So I do listen to TikTok when it comes to cooking, because there's some good things out there. It's the same as Reels on Instagram.
Okay.
But experts are warning about the dangers of a viral one-pan Thanksgiving meal on TikTok. So the content creator, Kate Heinz-Tillman, she posted a video. It's gotten over 7.5 million views.
What?
As you can see, she's got her bird raw in there and all of her raw sides.
Okay, so you just put everything in the pan with the raw bird and the salmonella.
Correct.
And you let all the vegetables and the potatoes and the stuffing and everything just float around in the turkey juice.
Wait, correct.
So the potatoes haven't even been like cooked?
No, this
is all raw. And this bird is not washed either.
Right.
So doctors are now in the comments of this saying, please do not do this and serve it to your family. You are all going to get salmonella. You can die from that. So we can hear Kate walking you through the process of making this dish.
Our potatoes are, what are those again? Chiclets? What's it? Grizzle. No. What's the inside of it called? Nuggets. I don't remember. Okay. Then yams. And look at that stuffing. It's perfect. Oh, let's cut into it so we can look at our one pan dinner. This is just easy. Look at this. This
Seven
is just,
million?
It's what makes sense. You can get it all done in one pan so you don't have one container for this. What are these freaking things called? I can't remember. One container for that. One container for this. One container. One container. One container. It's all in one pan.
Ew.
Yeah, no.
How does she have 7 million views?
Because people are, they want a shortcut. I mean, one of the great things about Thanksgiving, whoever does the cooking, you know, in the case of my family, when the kids were little and probably still this go-round, Jen Hill spends the entire day before and the day of cooking everything separately and making it perfect. You don't throw it all in one pan and get it done in 10 minutes.
Right.
It's also once a year. Like, there's something really nice about cooking and, like, being in the kitchen with your mom and getting everything together. Like, why we have to have a shortcut for effing everything?
No.
You can go get a turkey. If you want to buy one, go get it pre-made.
Right. Yeah.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
It's bad.
All right. So doctors are saying don't try the one-pan Thanksgiving dinner.
Correct.
No.
She's talking about the giblets she couldn't get the name?
I don't know.
The turkey giblets?
Probably, yeah.
School bus driver was fired after leaving 40 kids at a wrong stop in Colorado in freezing temps. Now, the driver's excuse is that he was filling in on the route. Didn't know where to drop the kids off. Seems like something you should figure out before you get them all in said bus.
He said, I get no control over the bus once it's between the white lines.
Right. Here's two of the elementary school passengers that were on the bus.
We got on the bus and there was a substitute and he wouldn't let us leave the school until we stopped talking. And he was skipping all the kids' stops. And we felt like when he was driving and missing our stops, like we were getting kidnapped. So he stopped right here at this intersection and he said, everybody get off my bus.
Oh,
and then everybody
God.
Was like stressing, like crying. And we forgot our jackets on the bus. Me and my little sister, we live like 2 miles away from here. We had like no idea what to do.
Oh,
that's terrible.
Kids, you know, and the guy, it's the stress of the season. The guy had just had it.
He was like, if I had a gun, I'd shoot him.
He's like, I'm filling in today. Right. I don't have time for the different stops and what your nonsense with talking. I'm just everybody off.
Kids won't shut up. Yeah. All right, everybody get off at the same stop.
Oh,
terrible.
My God.
Let's have some fun with 911.
And now it's fun with 911.
911, what's your emergency?
Kind of a heartwarming story here. A 10-year-old in Wisconsin called 911 for help with his math homework. The boy was having difficulty with decimals.
Okay.
And so when he got the dispatcher on the phone, the dispatcher connected him with an officer who's good at math.
Oh.
Yeah, so we can hear from the dispatcher, Kim Krause.
He said, you know, ma'am, I know I'm not supposed to call 911 for this, but I really could use some help with my homework. I asked, well, what can I help you with? And he's like, it's math. And I'm like, oh. I've been out of school for over 40 years, so I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can help you with this, but we'll find somebody.
Meanwhile, five people died in a robbery that they couldn't respond to. But
hogged up the lines.
I was so torn with the story because I'm like, oh, that's sweet. And, you know, an officer helped out this kid. The kid will never forget it. Yeah. But at the same time, there's
Can we do a quick math update because we talked about it on Friday? Box office weekend.
Not even close.
Wicked, $114 million. Mm-hmm. Gladiator 2, 55.
Wow, I was way off on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Should have known that.
That's shocking to me. I guess not. I mean, it's you went with your friend Sarah, right? I mean, it's the film that the ladies are going to.
Just ladies, though. No, I'm telling you, my theater, there was plenty of men there.
Plenty, yes.
And Tucker, Sarah's husband, both said, like, I want to see it, so we're going to go again.
Okay. They're both whipped. Yes. Like, that's well documented. There was no guy who was there by himself or with his buds.
Right.
They would, if the choice is that or Gladiator 2.
Oh yeah,
it's Gladiator 2.
Why not
for
both,
guys.
Greg?
Some of us like a good
musical.
Yes, Chime is one of those men.
My guess is most people don't have time to go see both movies over the weekend.
And then it's a ton of teeny boppers, Greg. You're not going to.
Hey, what's not teeny boppers?
You keep saying that.
It's not.
It's adults. It's all adults.
It's PG.
It's people. It's, right, yeah,
so
you 14, could bring
15,
your kids.
15, 16, 17,
I'm telling
18.
You, it is 30-year-olds who grew up with The Wizard of Oz. Going to see Wicked since 2003. It's
I grew up on the
boppers.
Wizard of, but I'm going to bet you that there was a giant, massive gap between 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old is going to see Wicked versus Gladiator 2.
Yeah, I'm telling you, my theater, I don't think there was a single teenager.
So the teenagers went to see Gladiator 2?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. But
Wicked's
I'm just
saying there are more teenagers would go see Wicked than Gladiator 2.
Right, and that's going to add to the numbers being high. It's like any Marvel movie. You know, a lot of that is adults love Marvel, but a lot of that is those teenagers.
It was very good. Highly recommend. I'm going to go see it this week with my mom.
Again?
Yeah.
So you're going to see it three times?
Yeah, and then I'll see it with Santo.
Holy guacamole.
Wow. Yeah. It's that good?
It's really good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Courtney. That is the news. We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Gerard Mayo joining us at 9:15 on this morning's show. That was Drake May post-game on his issues and the issues of the New England Patriots yesterday. And Curtis, you said you wouldn't blame him if he just said he wanted to sit the rest of this one out, Drake May.
Yeah, that was awful. He was awful. He wasn't good. But the entirety, every time Tua dropped back, it was like a Parisian spa.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, oh, that guy's open, but maybe I'll throw it a waddle.
He was like giggling.
Right. It was like he just basically was playing touch football. Nobody was near him. And then every time Drake May dropped back to pass, it was after a holding call. It was after a false start. It was after his stupid tight end lined up on the defensive side of the ball. And he's under siege the entire game.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking 10 penalties for 75 yards. But the neutral zone stuff, the guys that are moving before the snap, like over and over.
What
and
has
over
gotten
again,
better this it, year?
I mean,
Drake May,
the play of the quarterback.
I don't see it. Like, he's been pretty good since he arrived. I mean, to me, everything that you see watching a Patriots game has either been as bad or worse since the season started. Like, I don't see a trajectory. And when you go back to, like, Parcells, right? If you want to, let's ignore the Belichick because there's tensions high. Go back to Parcells, right? His first year here, they went 3-13.
Mm-hmm.
And then his next year, they won their, like, final five games entering the 95 season or 94 season. I forget which one it was. There was a clear momentum being built where early on they struggled, but there was a new coach, young quarterback that was growing. I don't get that feeling at all watching this
game. Only thing that has gotten better, and you got to really, really squint your eyes to see it, and I know it's going to be shocking to people, is the play of your offensive line, even though they're still bad.
Not from better from last season?
No, from the beginning of the season.
Oh, they were better the last couple weeks leading into this week. They were horrible yesterday. I mean, Curtis's question is, what's gotten better from last season?
Right.
I would only the quarterback then. From if you're going to say last season, it'll be the quarterback. If you have the beginning
like special teams is all bad or worse. Like the kicker all of a sudden can't kick.
I will say I'm happy with how serious I think Drake May is taking it all, and I can't wait for Gerard to get here because I want to ask, there was a report after the game that in the locker room, a lot of guys on offense were joking around. Like, it seemed like nobody cared that they had gotten absolutely blown out of that game.
Yeah.
And Drake was the only one in the locker room that seemed to be really upset about the loss. And if that's the case, if you're Drake May and you're looking around and you're like, I'm the best one on this team right now as a rookie, and you guys are joking about it after. I mean, yeah, it's a report. It was Mark Daniels who's in those locker rooms. So I just, the vibe is off. And I know that you can laugh at that, but it just seems like guys don't care.
Right. And maybe Gerard was right. Maybe he was honest about burning cash, and maybe he was honest about the soft team. And he just felt backlash that people were going after him for saying those things. But what have they done to show you they're not soft? I mean, you're in the locker room. Like, Jelani Tavai comes on Friday, and he's, like, angry that, you know, of course we take it personal. Well, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like you take it personal because you keep repeating the same mistakes. Like, and you're sitting there laughing?
Well, it's an effort thing, and that's why I said the effort thing. Because you can tell, you watch enough games, you'll start to see a guy's like, all right, you make the tackle. Somebody else make the tackle, so I don't have to put my nose in there. Versus guys that, like, no matter what their record is, they're 100 miles an hour. They're sticking their nose in there. They're playing till the final whistle. And that's why I said, as you start to see this team continue to go down, who are the guys that start to, like, check out, just be like, I want to just make it through the season without getting hurt, but I'm ready to get the hell out of here.
But take your Mayo scarf off for a minute if you can, because I know you have a hard time with that.
Yep.
Do you see any in-game adjustments that he makes, that coaching staff makes, that encourage you?
No. Okay. No, I haven't seen any, especially in yesterday's game.
Isn't that a problem?
I think it's not as big as a problem that you might take it.
I mean, you see, Robinson is killing them on the pass rush, absolutely killing them.
Right.
They don't
chip them.
They don't do anything.
They tried and they just straight whiffed.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I guess they're trying, but they don't do. They just. It's just kind of like the game flows along.
Why not double Waddle?
Yes. At the end of it, it's like, all right. Well, I guess we should have given this a try. And, you know,
can I just read this from what Courtney just alluded to from this Mark Daniels piece? Because this is enraging.
Yeah, that's I. Yeah.
Although not everyone was happy, the sounds of laughter filled the side of the room where the offensive players got dressed. What a pathetic thing. Like, you're getting paid millions of dollars to play football. The media's in there for a half hour. You could at least feign that you care.
yeah.
Like, you don't have to be doing
fake
a stand.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when the media leaves, you can start doing the knock-knock jokes.
Yeah.
But, like, what a bad culture.
And we always say, like, oh, that flight back must have been a tough one. Yeah. No, it doesn't seem like
no.
it.
No, I don't think there's.
They're all done. They're all planning their vacations. Hey, babe, where do you want to go when the season's over?
Okay, but Wiggy, you even if, you know, in that situation, in a different time, under a different regime, you would not have been, you would not be reacting that way.
No, because if there was laughter or joking on the plane or something to that effect, you would have the coach come back there, the head coach come back there and cuss everybody the hell out and thinking like, uh-oh, could I be on the chopping block come Monday?
Right. But no, it wouldn't be the coach. Wouldn't it be Willie or Ty? Like, that's
Well, sometimes it would be the coach. Like, if it was like, if you're on the plane and you're kind of after a loss and you're joking around, like Willie or Teddy or those guys would have said something in the locker room. Say you're on the back of the plane and guys are playing cards and gambling and getting a little bit like.
After a blowout.
Yeah, after a blowout.
34-15.
You would have a coach come back there and the head coach come back there and just like rip into guys like, what the hell are you doing? So, and then some guys be nervous like, oh, shoot. Because can I possibly get cut?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that has happened before.
It is. It's of interest. We'll talk to Gerard Mayo about that reaction in the locker room and everything else coming up in about 15 minutes on a Patriots Monday. All day long, Drake May, who you just heard, you'll hear this afternoon on the afternoon show here at WEEI.